recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Kritut is Daf Chet. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Zayin Amud Beit. And we continue today, Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim, our discussion of the protagonism of the Chiyuv of Korbanot. So, initially, this is really a siyum of the Dinim of Korbanot that we began at the beginning of the whole Seder of Mitzvahim. But the truth is that here we're dealing with the Chiyuv. We're talking about the people that are bringing the Korbanot, but the circumstances of the Chiyuv. And we have been talking about when you bring separate Korbanot, when you bring a Korban and it's eaten, or a Korban mitzad ha-safek. And today we want to discuss in our Mishnah when a single Korban can cover numerous different things. And this we're going to do in this Mishnah and the conclusion of this Mishnah later on today, with which we'll conclude the Perek. So, the Halakha Mishnah begins with the question of a Mapelet La'or Shmonim Ve'achad. Now, this is a famous machloket we've discussed many times, where we're talking about a multiple chiyuv for births. Now, obviously, there cannot be really multiple chiyuvim for births that should be included all in one, because it takes 9 months to have a baby, and it only takes 80 days maximum if a woman has a female for her to be chayav in her original korban. So what we're talking about over here is not a real birth. We're talking about over here miscarriages. Now, a miscarriage that was over the 40th day from conception is considered to be a birth, as we saw in yesterday's Mishnah. And here the question is like this. The 80 days of the period that includes both the days of Tumah and the days of Tahira of a Nekeva, 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tahira, are over on the 81st day. Now, the 81st day, of course, begins at night. The problem is that at night, you cannot bring a korban. So the real beginning of the ability of this woman to have brought a korban for her first leda was actually in the daytime. So now the question is, what is the din if she has another miscarriage the night of the 80th day, prior to the 81st day? So here she's Mapelet La'or Shmonim Ve'achad. Beit Shammai are potrim min ha-korban, u'Beit Hillel are mechayev. So the Beit Shammai says she can include this second miscarriage in her first korban, because she hasn't yet brought her korban, and she hasn't yet even theoretically been able to bring her korban, because it hasn't gotten to the 81st day. Whereas Beit Hillel says, since it's the nighttime, it's already past the 80th day. And therefore, she's really included in the next series of korbanot. So she has to bring a separate korban for this miscarriage. Amru Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, can you explain to me why you think there's a difference between the Or Shmonim Ve'achad and the Yom Shmonim Ve'achad? I mean, we're all agreed on the 81st day, obviously, she'd have to bring a korban. So what's the difference if it's the night before? I mean, that's all part of the same day. What would be, in terms of her Tum'at Leida, if she's had a birth, she obviously has tumat leida, even though it's on the night of the 31st day. So why shouldn't she be also chayiv in the korban of leida? Lo yishvelo le korban? Amru lahem Beit Shammai, to which Beit Shammai replied, ah, come on, man. First of all, your problem about what's the difference between the night before and the daytime is an obvious problem. Not to compare a mapelet on the 81st day to the one at night, because the 81st day was already Yatzel Sha'ashi Ru'uya Laviba Korban. There she could now have brought her korban in the daytime. I don't care whether she did or not. The fact is, since she could have, she's obviously now within the next cycle of births. Can't include this birth with the previous birth. Her korban was already chal on her for the previous birth. Masha'in came at the Leil Shmonim Ve'echad, which is the Or Shmonim Ve'achad, over there, lo yatzah l'sha'ashi ru'ya l'aviba korban. She is not yet during a period in which it would have been possible to walk into the Beit HaMikdash and bring a korban. Amru lahem Beit Hillel. Well, What would you say about someone who has a miscarriage on the 81st day that was a Shabbat? Can she bring a korban on Shabbat? No. So nonetheless, you certainly would agree that in that case, she is chayevet and a korban. What's the difference if it's Shabbat or if it's nighttime? In either case, she can bring a korban. Normally, all we're saying is the night of the 81st day is the 81st day. I don't care in the least whether she could physically have brought that korban because it was Shabbos or because it was nighttime. It's irrelevant. You too agree it's irrelevant in the daytime. So why is it relevant in the nighttime, for heaven's sakes? Again, and nonetheless, you're also agreed to chayevet korban. So Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, look, there's no comparison. It's all very nice on the 81st day, which is a Shabbos, because maybe she can't bring a korban, but a korban can be brought on Shabbos, right? It's still a time of korbanot. I'm not claiming that she logistically has to be able to bring a korban. I'm just saying that the Torah never considers the night before a day to be the arriving time for a theoretical ability to bring korbanos. There are no korbanos brought at night. That's what I'm saying. So there it's eno ra'ui, not lekorban yachid, velo lekorban tzibur, and therefore it's completely different. Tomar b'mapelet, but it's roi lekorban tzibur, says Beit Shammai. Tomar b'mapelet lo shmonim v'chad she'ina laila ra'ui lo lekorban yachid v'lo lekorban tzibur, is no comparison. And as far as your other raya, Beit Hillel, is concerned, what does the dam have to do with the price of eggs in China for everything? He's telling me that she would be tmeya leida on the night of the 81st. Excuse me, she'd be tmeya leida on the 40th day also. What kind of argument is that? It has nothing to do with the night of the 81st. Let's say she was mapelet betoch malot during the time in which he's counting those first 80 days. It's now 40 days after the leida. It's on the 41st day, in the middle of her 80 days. You're telling me she wouldn't be tmeya? Of course she would be tmeya. So even if she was mapelet betoch malot or mea tmeim, nonetheless, we're all agreed that she obviously would have been pturim in our korban, because then she's definitely within the period in which she still has to bring, hasn't yet been yotzik to the time where she could have brought her first korban. Now, the Braita speaks this over in a little bit more detail. Tanya, Amru lahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, Harehu Omer, it says after all in the Torah, O Levat, we darshan from that word of O Levat, which is essentially extra. There it says, V'mlot yimei Torah leven O Levat, Tavi keves ben shenato, and so on, so she has to bring her korban leida. The O Levat comes to teach me L'rabot or Shmonim Ve'achat. It's an additional riboy, so that even if it's already Yotze from the Shmoni, but it hasn't yet arrived, the time she bring the korban, she still has to bring a separate korban. Rav Hoshaya used to learn by Bar Kappara, and he left Bar Kappara's yeshiva. Shavke va'at elakami Reb Chiya, and he went to learn by Reb Chiya the Bavli. Yumachat Pagabe, one day he meets Bar Kappara. And he asks him, Baimine, what is the din of a similar case where a Zav was Roya Shalosh Re'iot, Belel Shmini? Now, the question over here is that we have a similar halacha in a case where you have a Chiev to bring a korban, which is similar to a korban Leda, which is coming to be Mater for Achilas Kachim. Over here, a Zav that was Roya Shalosh Re'iot, it's chayav to bring a korban. He has to bring that korban on the 8th day. You have to keep Shiva Nekiyim. How about if he sees additional riyas, 3 additional riyas on the night before he's able to bring his korban? It's exactly the same question. Woman has a miscarriage on the night before. A male has a 3-time riyah that would be mechayav him in a korban zava the night before. It's exactly the same. My question is, I'm getting contradictory messages about Beit Hillel. Because in the Mishnah, Beit Hillel is simply saying that, look, you haven't yet arrived at a time that you can bring a korban. Okay, if that's the argument, that applies by Zivas as well. But then in the Braita, he brings in all of a sudden this pasuk of O Levat. He says, because of the pasuk, then I marv an additional korban. Well, there's no such pasuk by a korban Zivas.
So I want to know, what's the main svaras? The main svara, because just because it's at night, that's not called mechusar zman in the sense that it's impossible to bring a korban, and that's true about a zog. Or is the real svara because of the extra, not a svara, but exeris akasim, because of the pasuk, and that pasuk would be limited to olavat, to leida. So let's see that inside. Zov shira'a shalosh ri'iyot, in the night before the eighth day, b'leil shmini. Tell me, ma Beit Hillel omrim b'davar zeh? What would Beit Hillel say about that? Tamayot the Beit Hillel b'mapelet b'layla. Is the real reason of Beit Hillel in the case of the Mishnah because of what the Braita said? Because of Gzirat HaKatuv? Dichtiv O Levat? Mashenken is Zov Shra Shaloshiyot B'leil Shmini. There, since they don't have a pasuk, they would agree to Beit Hillel, to Beit Shammai. That Patre, the Lomiyatri Krei, doesn't have an extra pasuk to cover that case. O Dilma, or is his real reason the way it appears to be in the Mishnah, that the nighttime is, for all intents and purposes, the equivalent of the daytime, and it's Yotzeh Tzakatzer to be really Mechusar Zman. Bar Kapora, who is quite irritated at Rav Hoshaya from leaving his yeshiva and joining Rav Chiya, says, well, what does Mr. Bavli have to say about this? What do you come to me all of a sudden to ask questions for? So, Ma Bavli, Omer B'davar Zeh? I mean, he's much smarter, no? He's stupid Bavli, that's what you got to learn by. So Rav Hoshaya didn't like that reference, so he just shut up and didn't answer. Ishtik Rav Hoshaya lo amar klum. So Bar Kapora kept thumping him to try to get a reaction. Omrei Bar Kapora, listen, Tzrichin l'divrei Iya, you know that Chia guy can't even pronounce his chetz. I mean, so don't we want to know what Iya has to say? Anyway, so says the Gemara Nachzal Rishonan. Let's start from the beginning here, try to figure this out. Areyu Omer Olavat, the Rabot Oshwanim Vechad. Okay, it said, you said before, Rashi says this, Nachzal Rishonan is just a way of saying Omar Mar. Okay? So we're asking what the Svara is. It seems to actually be a machloket in how to understand it, because we have two different brightot, one of which says one direction about the Zav, that he does have to bring Aliba de Beit Hillel, a new carbon, and one says he does not. So name a ketanai. One price says is Zav Shira Ashalosh Riyot, Belel Shmini, Tani Choda, Mevi. He would have to bring a carbon. But Tani Idach, Eno Mevi. So my love, it appears that it's about Choketanaim, about how to understand the real reasoning of Beit Hillel. The Hadatanya Mevi, the Braita that says he does have to bring a carbon, that Braita holds that Beit Hillel's reasoning is Kasavar Laila Ein Mechusar Zman, and it's as if you were already arrived at a time that you could bring a carbon, and the technicality of it's being daylight, not being daylight, that is just a technicality, but it's not called the same as being Mechusar Zman from being at a time that you bring the carbon. You're not at the wrong day. Whereas the other brayta that says Eino Mevi, that brayta holds that Laila is considered to be Mechusar Zman, and the only reason that Beit Hillel argued specifically by the case of Leida is because there we have the Pasuk Olavat. Omer Ravuna Barach, Omer Rav Elazar, I don't think that that conclusion is warranted. You could say that Hanitanai, both of the brayta told that Laila is Mechusar Zman, okay? And we may be talking about two different cases. The writer that says that you have to bring a korban on the re'ios, the three re'ios that were seen at night, is talking about where the Zav, Richie, there's a beautiful picture of the Zav, posing here in his Hawaiian clothing.
Everybody keeps on talking about nighttime.
Dancing. Look, nighttime. Look at this. Hula hoops. The whole thing. Huh? What is it? I mean, if that doesn't get you moving, I don't know what will. Huh?
He's bringing through the hoops.
Doesn't that help? Knowing what you're going to go through? What it's talking about is different cases. Suppose we start with a Zav who saw two Re'iyot. So he has to keep Shiva Nekiyim, right? That's the din. Zov sees, let's get the din straight, gentlemen. Zov sees one re'ia of Zivais. He has the same din as any typical Baal Keri, even though the material that he saw was prostate fluid, it wasn't semen. But it has the same din as a Baal Keri. he sees a second such ra'iyah, he now has to keep Shiva Nikiyim, but he does not have to bring a korban at the end of Shiva Nikiyim in order to become tahor. He sees three such ra'iyahs, he has to also bring a korban, all right? Now, the case that we might be talking about is where during the 7 days, those were re'iyos, but there were only two re'iyos. Therefore, those 7 days were never being counted for a korban. What we were talking about in the Braita is if in the following night he sees three re'iyos, now he does have to bring
three
a korban.
Three
re'iyos, he has to bring a korban. So where it says maybe, it's a zov bal shtei re'iyot. Where it says he doesn't have to bring another korban, it's because he was already chayav a korban, he's a zov bal shalosh re'iyos. Says, you might understand, that's just trivial, it's ridiculous. What's the chiddush then? Obviously, if he never had to bring a korban in the first place, why would he not have to bring a korban now that he sees shalosh re'iyos? So, zov bal shtei re'iyos, ma'ala memra, why would any braita bother discussing such a trivial case? Ah, the case per se is trivial, but the diuk is not trivial. Because the braita is coming to teach you a kabash malan. Dafkara abalel shmini. The only time he has to bring a korban is if he sees all three re'iyos on the eighth night, the night of the eighth day. But had he seen re'iyos in the seventh day, he would not have to bring a korban, because we will not add the re'iyos of the seventh day to the original two re'iyot. Why? Because Kasava, the Tana, holds that kol re'iyash soteret korban, a re'iyah that is used to cancel the Shivas Nikiyim, which of course is what would happen if he would be re'iyah on the third day, does not count to bring a korban. Therefore, the chiddush is, in order for him to be chayav a korban, all three re'iyos would have to be on the following night after the 7 days. Oh, my Rabbi. Okay, let me get this straight now. You're saying that the braita, Mayakim Talatanya Ein Mevi, Bizov Baal Shalosh Riyot, telling me that the case where it says he does not have to bring a korban, an extra korban, is talking about where the Zov had already been chayev on his first Riyot. Well, then I got a real problem for you. Because later on, we're going to have a Mishnah that describes people that are Yotzei with a single korban for many events. And there's five such cases. So why don't we list this case as an additional case? We're going to have this tomorrow, of Chamishan Mevi'im Korban Echad Al Averot Harbei. Why can't we list a fifth example of a Zov Baal Shalosh Re'iyot who sees additional Re'iyot, and nonetheless, he can get away with bringing one korban on these separate events? How come it's not listed there? Answers the Gemara, it's not listed there because lo psikale. It is not a simple case because not every such event will lead you to bringing one korban. And there are cases where you'd have to bring two korban out. Where is that? The Omer of Yochanan. Ra'ah chat ba'layla v'shtayim b'yom. If one of these re'iyot was during that night, and two further re'iyot were in the eighth day, he would have to bring two separate korbanot. There he would be maybe. If two of those re'iyot were at night, and one of them was in the day, he would not be maybe a separate korban. Now, we're not going to get into that kind of detail in a Mishnah that's listing cases of where you can bring a single korban for many events, because then we'd have to explain which case we mean. So therefore, lopsikale, we didn't mention it. What's the logic behind this distinction? Rav Yosef, look, it's a very simple logic. Teda, I'll explain to you. You can figure it out. If a guy was Roya Achaz Balayla V'shtayim B'yom, he's going to be Mevi. You know why? And I know what's bothering you. What's bothering you is, well, how can we add a Re'iyah that was not going to be able to cause him to bring a separate korban if all three re'iyot had been at night? How can we add one such re'iyah to two re'iyahs in the day that are going to be maybe in? Right? That's your question. Well, let me tell you something. Every first re'iyah of every zav in history can be looked at as, why add it to zivas? The Torah gives it the same din as a typical baal keri. Right? So I therefore tell you, look, the reason that Achat Balayla V'shtayim V'yom is Mevi is because Re'iyah Rishayna of every Zav has exactly the same din as Shechvat Zera Ba'alma. And nonetheless, it now becomes ex post facto defined as part of a series of re'iyot that bring you a chiyuv of a karma. So this is no difference. And therefore, when you add two more re'iyot, v'ilu chazit tarta achrinim, it's tarfilu. Armor of Sheshit Breda Ravidi, oh, come on, I mean, that's really very far-fetched. You call that a riot? A mini ira? The re'iyah rishona of a zav at least is theoretically capable of being added to two additional re'iyot at the same time, because he was chazib is man chiyuva. At least he saw that first re'iyah at a time that could bring him to a chiyuv of a carbon of zivot. But the case that you're trying to apply the logic to, of achat balayla, had he seen all three balayla, he wouldn't have been chayim. Sekima delav bizman chiyuv achazya, it's part of a different set, okay? And if I hadn't heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, it would be mitzarev. I certainly would never have said it mitzarev based on your teda. It's a big chiddush. I would have said, habamina lot mitzarev. Now, lemaisa, Rabbi Yochanan ends up saying over here that Laila is called b'chusser zman. So, umiyam Rabbi Yochanan, Laila is b'chusser zman, and therefore you're potter on additional korbanot because you have not as yet entered into a period in which you would be chayef to bring a carbon. The Omar Chizkiah, a similar case, where we have nitma b'yom, mevi, balayla eno mevi. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, afilo balayla, mevi. We have a case where there was a time, somebody's chayef a carbon, so now he's going to be reya in the nighttime. He does not have to bring a carbon according to Chizkiah, and Rabbi Yochanan says, even Balayla, he has to bring another carbon. In a case where you're talking about a tuma, that would be Bebio Lidei Tuma, Lidei Carbon. So how do you explain that? Say, case of a Nazir, right? A Nazir who has exposed himself to tuma. So if he exposes himself to tuma tmeit on the night of the eighth day, he's got to bring a separate carbon. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, we do not say Laila's b'chusser's man, and it's included in the first carbon. So I think that conclusively shows that he's contradicting himself. Says the Gemara, Ki ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnayim b'layla v'achat b'yom eino mevi. You misunderstood what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. Rabbi Yochanan was saying that according to the Mandi Omer, I don't agree, but according to the Mandi Omer, L'divrei Omer, that Laila is b'chusser's man, you would, in fact, have a difference between Shnayim Balayla V'Achat B'Yom, and you would not be Mevi. Well, obviously, L'divrei HaOmer, obviously, no. Pshita. No. It's not Pshita. We just explained why it's not Pshita. We explained that's exactly what Rav Sheshit Breda Ravidi said. There's no comparison for adding a first Re'iyah of Azov, which is Batami and Shechwazera, to two others, to a case of adding a re'iyah of a zav to two others when the original re'iyah was at the wrong time. So, ma detem akiva delav is man chiyuva kachazir lo titzarev. Didn't we just explain that it was still a big chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan is saying? So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, if there's a place to apply this chiddush, and of course, in order to apply this chiddush, I would have to say, Laila is b'chusser's man, which I don't say. But I would like to explain to you that the chiddush is nonetheless relevant, according to Man Yomar Hotz, Laila is b'chusser's man. Now that is a very meaningful statement that Rabbi Yochanan makes here, and it stands on its own.
And President,
Aisha, sheyesh aleha safek chamesh leidot, or a safek chamesh zivot. And we've been talking about cases where there are multiple chiyuvim. Suppose a woman has multiple chiyuvim, but they're all sfekot. Now, we said before, a safek, a woman will bring the chatat as a safek. You always bring an ayla, the bird that's an ayla, you can always bring as a gift. You can make a tenai on that. You could say, okay, I know. If I'm not chayevet, if I didn't have a real leda, then let this be a gift. But you can't do that for a chatat. So you can bring a chatat, because anyway, nothing's put on the mizbeach. So you can bring a chatat. But the kohen can't eat it, because it's going to be a nevela if you do malika on a bird that you're not chayev on. Okay. So in this case, she had five miscarriages. She was unable to determine on any of these miscarriages whether either they were 40 days past conception or whether they were mutations, whatever the cases were.
Female, it's also the suffix? No.
The suffix, whether it is a Leda, like we had before in the Mishnah yesterday. So she's not sure whether she's chayevet. Male or female has nothing to do with anything. I mean,
but 80 days for the female?
It makes no difference. We're not talking about 80 days. We're talking about the chiyev of a carbon. We're past our 80-day discussion now. We're going into a general discussion of a chiyev of a carbon. We couldn't care less when. So now, or the same thing would be, she's not certain. Let's say she got mixed up between her yemei nidot and her yemei zivot. She's not sure, therefore, when she saw these three re'iot, 3 days of re'iot of blood, whether that was during her nidot, in which case, obviously, they're meaningless. She's not considered to be a zava, or whether they were during the period of her and zivot, in which case they are very significant indeed, or whether they were partially in nidot or zivot. She's very confused. She doesn't know if she has to bring a carbon or not. See, here's what she does. She can bring just one carbon, because there's really no problem of a single carbon on a Mechusar Kippurim making you tahar. It's not going to the mikveh, essentially. You go to the mikveh, you bring your carbon. So you don't go to the mikveh multiple times. We're going to see this discussion in a moment. You don't go to the mikveh multiple times for multiple tumas. And therefore, you don't bring a carbon multiple times. You don't need to bring the carbon in order to become tahar. So she can bring a single carbon, and she's able to eat kachim, and she doesn't have to worry about bringing the rest because it's a suffix anyway. So she's only bringing it to be mater her. One of them is mater her. So therefore, she's ochelet bizvachim ve'in hashar alei achova. But if she had 5 zivot that are vada'ot, Richie.
Yes.
Do I need to take out my spike ball? My rifle?
Pickle juice.
If it was 5 zivot vada'ot, or 5 leidot vada'ot, so then there's a different thing. Obviously, the point about not needing to bring multiple karbanos to be tar is still true. Okay? But there's a big difference about whether there's a chiyuv to bring the rest. Of course, there's a chiyuv to bring the rest. Since it's vada'i, so you have to bring the rest. So over there, you can bring one karban and ochelet bizvachim, but in this case, a shar, the remainder, would be a chiv, because you owed each one at the time. You don't potter a chiv of a carbon by bringing another carbon. Now, one time, the kosher market, you think only in our days, the kosher market is marked up by hundreds of times over the dreifel market, in those days also. So there was once a maisa where they were charging for kosher birds, for kinim, a dinner zav, an immense amount of $500 to be able to bring a carbon to eat kachim was absolutely insane. I'm Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that does it. I'm finished. I swear by this Beit HaMikdash, I am not going to sleep tonight until I reduce the price to dinrin of kesef. So at least I'm going to get it down by 25. So what does he do? Nichnas to Beit Din, he walks into the Beit Din in Lishkat HaGazit, and he teaches the halacha, if a woman has multiple chiyuvim, chamesh leidot, chamesh zivot, and they're vada'ot, she can still bring a single carbon and forget about the rest. So she brings the single carbon, okelet bizvachim, ve'ein hashar alei achova. Immediately the price fell to 1/4. Not 1/4 of the price, 1/4 of a dinner. Went down to 1% of the original price. Ramdu kinim hayom is actually 2/4, so 2%. For, because the rabbanan for a tikkun can actually tell you b'sheva atasa, and that's all. Because it was a big problem. If people would end up saying that it's crazy, you can't afford it, they would end up being mavato the whole diaraita. So for that, it's eight lasot lashem basically. So the rabbanan can tell you b'sheva atasa, don't be mekayim your chiyuv. Lovely. Boy, I wish we had somebody to do that today, huh? With the kosher food for Pesach. Turn around. Chamesh leidot vadai chamesh zivot safek. Or chamesh leidot lad vadai chamesh leidot safek. Okay? Suppose you know you definitely have a chiyuv, and you also have an additional safek chiyuv. So what you do is you bring 2 kinim. One on the vadai, one on the safek. Okay? That's what you would bring. The only difference between them is that the Vaday, of course, is Nechelet, where Hashar Alechova, the Suffolk is not Nechelet, and you don't have to bring the rest. So, there you go. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, well, no, there's a difference between them, and that is this. When you're bringing one for a series of Vaday, then you say, I am bringing this carbon on the last of the series. But when, and then you're, then you become potter. When you're bringing the Vaday together with the Suffolk, you don't need to bring anything because the one Vaday will potter all the Sfeikot also. That will be pottering the Suffolk if there's one Vaday Beneya. So if there's one Vaday Beneya, then all you need to do is make this tonight on the Vaday and you'll potter the rest. But if you don't have a Vaday Beneya, when you're bringing, you see, then you say, Alachat Meyim, on any of the above. It doesn't need to be the last one. V'tipater. Now, what the logic is in that is very strange. The Gemara is going to go into what the possible difference is. If there's a point of saying they're the last one, why is there a difference between a Vaday and a Suffolk? Rabbi Akiva Omer, it makes no difference. Whether it's a Vaday, whether it's a Suffolk, what the heck is the difference whether it's the first one you're bringing it for, the middle one, or the last one? The point is you brought one carbon. That's all I worry about. So just say I'm bringing on one of the above, and you don't have to worry about bringing the rest. Omer, back one by Yitzhar of Papa. Let me explain to you what the Machloket is. And I'm going to quote Rava on this. What is this strange machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva? It's like this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, you know, we have to compare multiple chiyuvim on a case of a mechuzer kippurim to multiple chiyuvim on a korban chatas, okay? If somebody is chayev five separate chataot, and he knows perfectly well, unless he brings all of his korbanot, he does not have a kapara. He did this avera five times. He can't possibly say to himself, well, I brought one carbon for Chilul Shabbos. You know, I mean, how many carbon? I mean, God will certainly take that into consideration. No, it doesn't work that way. When he finishes bringing all of his carbon out, then he can think about his kapara, right? So, chinami lo shna, guys, chayef to bring, or woman's chayef to bring multiple carbon out. She's got to bring multiple carbon out. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, what's the difference? We're talking about Mechuser Kippurim. Okay, you're going to go to the mikveh. You go to the mikveh five times because you became Tomei five times? No, what a joke. You went to the mikveh, you're Tar. So you're bringing this carbon to become Tar for Achilas Kacha. Bring the carbon. What's the difference whether it's with the first tumah, the last tumah, the middle tumah? Just like going to the mikveh. Man nebechayev chamesh tefilot. Kiven de tovil chada zimna. Itar. A guy went to the mikveh once, that's enough. Hachinami lo shna. This is no different than going to the mikveh. Said Rav Papa, that's ridiculous. How does that explain the machloket? Isak adai, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is comparing it to a chatas. So then what's the difference between a suffolk and a vaday? You haven't touched on the main issue here. There shouldn't be any difference. So a maishal suffolk, why when it comes to a suffolk, can you say any of the above? Why any of the above? It should be exactly the same. You're telling me someone who's chayav chamesh chat ashamot luyin, which is the equivalent of a suffolk. So you're chayav five separate karbonas for maybe I was over. You're going to tell me that if he brings one, he's going to be potter? But Tanya, isn't it clear in the bright that zaklal kol shechalukin b'chataot, wherever you have to bring a separate chatat, you'd have to bring a separate Hashem Toli if you don't know if you're chayav that chatat. That's what happens, Richie, when you try to fall asleep.
Yeah.
They get you from the sky. Chalukin b'hashamot, you better watch out because I'm ready to zap. I got a little button here. Chalukin b'hashamot. Therefore, we forget about, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll tell you the answer to what the Machloket is very, very simple. There is no technical answer, because there's no theoretical difference between the Vaday and the Suffolk. There is only a logistical answer, not a technical answer. And the logistical answer is very simple. Everybody agrees that, obviously, if you're only going to bring one carbon, so it's like a tefillah. You're only going to go to the mikveh once. So what's the difference? What you're going? That's for sure. Both Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva agree. The problem is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is trying to set up a psychological mechanism which will drive this woman crazy, in the case of a vadai, to think, oh my God, what am I going to do about the ones that I was chayev before? So therefore, if we would let her say, okay, I'm bringing a carbon on one of them, and then she eats kachim, she's going to say, okay, I guess that's it, you know. But if we force her to say, no, this one only covers the last one, she's going to be thinking, oh my God, it's only the last one, I got the other four, I got to worry about. So therefore, it's all psychological. We're pretending that it's for the last one, because that way, she won't be poshaat on the other one. So we just want to make rationalizations more difficult. You see? So we tell her, if we were arguing about whether we worry about the fact that a person won't follow up, like some people I know, on what it is that they got to do. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, "Chayshina lepshia, you got to worry about this." Rabbi Akiva says, "Look, man, if she's going to rationalize, she's going to rationalize. We don't have to worry about this problem. Either she's going to bring it or not, and therefore we don't have a problem." So lo chayshina lepshia. Hadron alach shloshim v'sheish gritot b'torah
bli neder fangson lehelik pere
arba'a mechusrei kapara. Moving on now to different groups of karbanot as our fitting conclusion to the chiyuv of avodas in Seder Kodshim. There are four cases where there are people who bring a korban chatat not because they sinned, but simply in order to become tahor, in order to eat kodesh. There are also four cases, arba'a, maybe inal azadon kishogeg, who bring a korban for an act that they did purposefully, exactly the same way that they would bring for an act that was done accidentally. Now let's start with the four b'chusrei kapara, okay? They are azav, azava, hayoledet, and we talked about these cases just a few moments ago, and a mitzora. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, well, we have to add to that a ger, because every ger is called a mechusar kippurim, unless we're zerek alav adam, he's got to bring a korban, and that korban, some learns, means literally sprinkle the dam on him like we did on Har Sinai, with brit, and mila, and tefila, we also need it, but we're going to see that he can bring even an oila. Obviously there's no dam that is taken out of that oila, it's put on the mizbeach, in which case the meaning Yizrok alav adam is Yizrok alav adam al ha-mizbeach. And that is also a case of mechusar kapara, until he brings it, he hasn't gotten rid of his din of a goy. The other case of somebody who brings is a nozir. Now, a nozir's got to bring a carbon. He's not really bringing a carbon on a chait. But what is he bringing that carbon for? A nozir is bringing l'yeno l'tiglachto v'l'tumato. So there, we're viewing that as a broader issue than simple mechusar kapara, because he's not able to drink his wine, and it's a broader question. It allows him to drink wine, it allows him to get a haircut, it allows him to come to metim, and that's not the same as the four cases of zav, zavayu, ledet, and mitzora. Now, what bothers me is, why did you list a zav and a zava separately? I mean, when you talked about sarat, you talked about sarat, whether it's male or female, it's sarat. When you talk about a zav and a zava, you talk about it separately because it's a male and a female. Why is that? Mashna zav is zava. The money loan betraying. Why'd you call the two sexes two cases? I assume it's because they have different dinim, right? Mishum de chaluka tumato. They're very different than the din. And what is the difference? Well, first of all, a zav is not metame ba'onis, whereas a zava is. So if a zav can trace some physical basis for his having had these re'iyos, let's say too much food or strenuous exercise or whatever, that could have caused now this leakage of prostate fluid. So that's not called zivas at all. It has to be a zivas that comes without any explanation. Whereas a woman who bleeds has nothing to do with activities that she did beforehand. She would be a zava. Furthermore, a zava is mitame only on subsequent days. It's not dependent on how many times she was re'adam. Whereas a zav has nothing to do with days, it has to do with how many events of leakage he had. So zav lo mitame b'riot ki bayamim. We learn this out of psukim. Titania. We learn out the fact that you need not to be roya mi'ainis. From ish ki ezav mi'bisaro. Mi'bisaro, we understand, obviously mi'bisaro. Where else? From his soul? So mi'bisaro means only from the natural activities of his hormones, not machmat onso. Nothing that has to do with something that we can figure out. Furthermore, riyot ki bi'amim. D'tanya talak atuvet ha-zachar b'riyot. The Torah defines the zachar by, we dash the number of times it says the word zav, zavo. So over there, it's dependent on how many times there were zivot. But the nekeva, the word for the zav is yamim rabim. So the nekeva is dependent on days. The zav is metame be'ones, on the other hand, but it's not metame b'riyot ki b'yamim. So I understand that that's why you list it as two. I respect your decision. I'm only questioning why you don't list the din of a mitzorah and a mitzorat as two. Because there's different din amount of a mitzorah and a mitzorat. A mitzorah and mitzorat are also chaluka betumatam. Look, the din is that a male mitzorah requires priya of his hair and prima tearing apart his clothes. Tichtibagadav yufrumim v'rosho yeparua. Furthermore, he is usur to have intercourse asur betashmish amita. A mitzorah does not require priya v'prima. D'tanya ein li ela ish. I only know because of the fact that it mentions the ish in these dinim. I only know that it's a din in ish. How do we know that it applies to Isha Minayin? But it does add Vahatsarua Asher Bohanega. That Hatsarua, obviously, who else are we talking about? Someone who isn't Sarua. It says Asher Bohanega. What's Hatsarua? Hatsarua is coming to be Marba. Also, a woman, Harekan Shnayim. So why then did it say before Ish Bedavka? Ish is, it must be that Ish. That the Torah now is distinguishing between the etzem din of the tumatzarat to the din of priya v'prima, to tell me that only the ish is porea uforem, but an isha is not pora uforemet, and furthermore, a woman is allowed to have sexual intercourse. Muter petashmish amita shenamar v'yashav michutz la'ohalo shivat yamim v'lo michutz la'ohala. Okay, so therefore, bottom line is, they have different dinim. I don't understand why you're prejudiced to list Zav and Zava as two, but all types of Tzarat as one. You should have listed this, Hilkach Nino Betrayin. You should have listed Betzara and a Betzarat as two different cases. Answers the Gemara is an obvious difference between the two. A Zav and a Zava, the Iker Tuma is different. How do you become Tome? Be'amim, Ba'ones, Be'iyot. So over there, we count it as two. The Mitzorah and Mitzorah are exactly the same Tumah, okay? It's just we may apply different dinim to that Tumah, but you can't call them different classes of Tumah that are Mechayev, the carbon of Mechus or Kippurim. So any kar Tumatan Chalukah. Both of them have the same din of coloration and the same size of a Kigris. Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, a ger is also called Mechus or Kippurim. V'tanakama, my time alotani ger. Look, we're only listing things, say the Tanakama, that are relevant specifically to eating kachim. So kikotani minam the mishra lemecha b'kachim, okay? If you hold that the ger requires a carbon, it would be a carbon to complete his gerut. So ger ki maite carbon, lakshari nafshi lemecha b'kachim. He is bringing a carbon to be considered a complete Jew. That's the point. And a Nazir, my time alotani, for the same reason, because so a Nazir is bringing a carbon to be matir himself to drink wine. That is not kachim, okay? That's chulin. The din of mechusar kippurim, we mean mechusar kippurim specifically vis-a-vis achilas kachim. So, Reb Eliezer, diktani Nazir, what does he say? I mean, he says, a nazir, I want to add, l'mishrei nafshe. That's what he adds at the end after ger. He says, I'm adding a ger and I'm adding a nazir. So why doesn't he also mention a nazir tomei? Because a nazir tomei has to also bring a carbon in order to ultimately bring himself to recounting his naziris and then being able to eat kachin. And to drink wine. So why not list that as yet another case? So you have seven cases. So my time alot tani, because look, the nazir tummy is very different. Because kikamaite, a nazir tummy is bringing a carbon. He can't eat. He can't drink wine. He can't cut his hair after bringing his carbon. Freely, he has to first start recounting his nazirut. Then he'll bring the next set of carbon on for his nazirut ta'ara. Then he'll be able to. All he's bringing a carbon for is for the right to restart his count. So it's lameichal alei nazirut b'ta'ara. Tana rabbana germu kav lechol b'kadashim hachi avi kino. You know what? I suggest that because this is the beginning of a massive new sugya that extends into the next half. That we actually do this piece tomorrow. Hamapel et leoshvonim v'echad beit shamay potrim min hakorban beit hillel mechayvin. Amru beit hillel beit shamay maishno oshvonim v'echad miyom shvonim v'echad im shivala lo tuma lo yishvela le korban. Amru lem beit shamay lo im amartem hamapel et yom shvonim v'echad shiken yatza le sha'ashi ru'uya leviba korban. Tomar b'mapel et leoshvonim v'echad shelo yatza le sha'ashi ru'uya leviba korban. אמרו להם בית הלל ועלו המפלת יום שמונים ואחד שכה להיות בשבת תוכיה. We're over there also לא יצתה לשעה שירויה להביא בהו קרבן. And nonetheless she's חייבת בקרבן. אמרו בית שמי לא אם אמרתם יום שמונים ואחד where it was שכה להיות בשבת. It's true that אף הפי שנראוי להביא קרבן for herself, קרבן יוחד. But theoretically it's רואה לקרבן, it's the קרבן ציבור. תאמר במפלת at all. And as far as your other proof, so called, from Damim, that doesn't prove a darn thing. Because over there, even if she would be Mampelet B'toch Malot, she would be Tamei Tori to Mayim. So what would that have to do with this? And she would still be Potter and a Korban, even according to you. Tanya. Amrulahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Harehu Omer Olavat. That's coming to Rabot Orshmanim Ve'echad. Rabo Shai Avishkiach Kamei Bar Kapora. Shav Kevata Kamei Rebchia. Yumachat Pogabe Bar Kapora. Boy Minei Zav Shara Ashalosh Riot Balayla Bilel Shmini. Ma Beit Hillel Omrim B'davar Zeh. Is the real time I had to Beit Hillel B'mapelet Balayla Bishop Dechtiv Olavat? But in a case of a Zav Shara Shalosh Riot Bilel Shmini, there, they too would agree to Beit Shammai. It was Potter, because they don't have an extra posik. Oh, Dilma Loshna. Omale Bar Kapara. Well, you're asking me. Ma Bavli Omer B'davarza. I mean, you got a smarter guy than me to learn from. Ishtik Rav Shaya, Rav Shaya Lo Amar Klum. So Bar Kapara says, I'm asking you. Tzrichin Adivre Mr. Ia, don't we? Anyway, Nachzor Al Rishona. Harehu Omer Olavat l'rabot orshmanim ve'achad. This, I think, name a ketanoi. Ra zav shara shalosh riyot belel shmini. So toni chada maybe, betan yirech eino maybe. My love, this is good for the machlor ketanaim. The harda tanya maybe, kasava layla eino mechusar zman. V'harda tanya eino maybe, kasava layla eino mechusar zman. Omer v'nu barach, omer belazer. Not necessarily. Hanetanoi savri. Laila is b'chusar zman. Hadetanya mevi is talking about a zav bal shtei re'iyot. Vadetanya ein mevi is talking about a zav bal shalosh re'iyot. Zav bal shtei re'iyot. Are you kubo ma'ayla meimra? Obviously. No. Hakamashman dafka ra'ab al shmini. But had the extra re'iyot been b'yom shmi, lo, why? Because kasavar aitana kol riyah shesoteret eino mevi alidei korban. Amar Rava, amayu kimtel aitatanya ein mevi bizov of shalosh riyot? Why then does it not appear in the Mishnah that lis kamisha mevi im korban acharal averot arbe? Because lo psikale. Because since Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ra'ah Achat B'Layla V'Shtayim B'Yom Mevi, but Ra'ah Shtayim B'Layla V'Achat B'Yom Eino Mevi, and Rav Yosef explained it, by the way, he said, Teda, Achat B'Layla V'Shtayim B'Yom Mevi, because every Re'iyah Rishonah of every Zav, for all intents and purposes, is just Shechvat Zera B'Alma, and nonetheless, it's a bit starif. And now we retroactively add it to the list of three. Since I think it'll be true over here. Omer Pshesha Bered Ravidi, what kind of raya is that? And Re'ir Rishonah Shalzav, at least it was Chazav Bisman Chayuva. But the case of Achat Balayla is not Bisman Chayuva Chazav. I gotta tell you, if Rabbi Yochanan hadn't said it, Dashmin Rabbi Yochanan Mistarev, I certainly would have said on my own that it's not Mistarev. What, so you're telling me that Om Rabbi Yochanan Laila is a Mechusar Zman? Didn't Chizkiah say that Nit Rabbi Yom Mevi B'Laila Eino Mevi? But Rabbi Yochanan said, Afilu B'Laila Mevi, and the only way that that could be true is to tell me that if B'Laila Mevi, obviously, Laila he's talking about is not Mechusar Zman. Well, yes, but all Rabbi Yochanan was saying in this case of Ashnayim B'Layla V'Achat B'Yom, that is Eino Mevi, all he was saying is that if you hold that Laila is Mechusar Zman, then that would be the din. Well, for God's sake, that's obvious. L'divrei Omer Pshita. It's not Pshita. Because it's still a Kiddush of Ra'achat B'Layla V'Ashnayim B'Yom Itztrichale. Ma the Tema Kivet Elav Zman Chiyuva Kachazile. Lo Titztarev Kamashman that it is. The Safik Chamesh Zivot. She's maybe a Korban Echad, Ve'Ochelet V'Zvachim. She forget about the rest. Ein Asher Le'Chova. But if it was Chamesh Zivot Vada'ot, or Chamesh Leidot Vada'ot, then it's still true that she's maybe a Korban Echad, Ve'Ochelet V'Zvachim. But in this case, Hashar Le'Chova. There was even a Maisa where people were overcharging horribly for Kinyan B'Yerushalayim, and they were Omed in Bediner Zahav. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, I've had it up to here. Hamona zeh lo alina laila ad sheyeh bedinarin of Kesef. Besov nichnas lebedin velimeid, isha sheyesh le chamesh leidot even vada'ot. Or chamesh zivot even vada'ot is only chayevet to be maybe korban echad v'chalot v'zvachim, and forget about the rest. So that she potter them, even though the writer she's chayim, because of this ridiculous situation. Va'amdu kinim b'yom ahu b'rivatai. Tan rabban, chamesh leidot vaday, chamesh zivot zafek, or chamesh leidot vaday, chamesh leidot zafek. Maybe a shnei kinim, achat ala vaday, achat ala zafek. Now the vaday, ala vaday, the first of all, it's eaten. And furthermore, you still have a chiyuv to bring the rest. The safek, you're not allowed to eat it, the safek of a nevela. And you certainly don't have to bring the rest. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri adds that the difference is also that on the vaday, always clarify that it's brought for the last case. Alachronat v'tipoter. On the safek, it doesn't matter. Furthermore, on the safek, in yesh vaday b'nehem. So then you just bring on the vaday, and the rest you don't have to worry about. But if not, then you could just say, on any one of the above, I'm bringing for the safek. Rabbi Akiva, what's the difference? Bein ala vaday, bein ala safek, you only need to say, I'm bringing on one of the above, v'tipatev. Amalei Rav Nachman, here's Rav Papa, I want to explain the machloket over here, Mishmei Rava. Hani Tanoi B'Mai Plige, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri compares these things to Chatat, okay? If somebody's chayav five Chataot for Chilul Shabbos, let's say, so Adam Maite Kula, and then he's Mechaperle. So here too, you have to bring all of them. Now Yochinami Loshna, whereas Rabbi Akiva says, it's like going to the mikveh. Somebody who's chayav chamesh tvilot. He's going to go five times to the mikveh. So given a tov chadazim neiter, hachinami lo shna. Oh, my lady, Papa, come on, man. He's talking that to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He's comparing it to a chat. So what's the difference with the suffix? Why can he say, ala chat mi v'tiputer? You're going to tell me in a similar case where somebody's chayav an ashim toloi, which is a suffix. So you should say the same thing. You only bring one v'tiputer. So ki might echad mi mifter. It's not true. Because Vatanya, Zaklal, Kosha Chalukin Bechataot, Ar Chalukin Bahashamot. I'll tell you the machloket over here. It's something others completely. Kulei amalit filot bedami lahon. The question is whether rechoshen lepshiyak amiflegei. Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri says, look, you know, you can't trust anybody. Chayshina lepshiya. Let's make a takana just to psychologically wound her so that she'll bring the rest. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Zava, lo chayshina lepshiya. Hadron alok shloshim v'shesh. Arba am b'chusrei kapara ve'arba am bevina lazadon kishoge. Ve'elu hein b'chusrei kapara. Azav, azava, hayoledet v'amitzora. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, well, we ought to add a ger who's b'chusrei kapara shizrokal of Adam and a nazir who's b'chusrei kapara for yayin and tiglachat being metamel meitim. Now, mashna zava zava that you count them as two separate things, even though they're differentiated by the sex, you're betraying. Mishum dechalukatu mato. Okay, I'm assuming, and it's perfectly reasonable. A zav is not matame ba'ones. A zav is not matame b'riyos kiviyamim. Detanya mi b'saro v'lo machmaton. So b'riyot kiviyamim. Detanya tala katuvet azachar b'riyot ve'atane keva b'zavim b'yamim. A zav is matame ba'ones. Is not matame b'riyot kiviyamim. Fine. But by the same token, a mitzora and a mitzora adnami or chaluka betumatan. A mitzora requires prio prima. And he's also betashmit amita. Tashmish amita. A mitzora enatu and a prio prima. Tatanya in the ala ish, it says ish, 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 aminayin. Kisho mervea atzarua arekan shnaim. So, im keimata lomar ish nitkol inyan shalmata lomar ish poreo porem vina isha poratu foremet. And furthermore, she's buteret petashmish amita from the diaka v'yasha b'chutz la'ahalo shivat yamim lo mechutz la'ahala. Hilkach, I suggest you should count mitzor mitzorat separately the same way you count ezov ezov separately. So, nimnino betrein. There's a big difference between them. Azov is zava, the type of tumah is different. Ika tumatan chaluka. A mitzorah, mitzorah, exactly the same tumah. Enika tumatan chaluka. It's just different dinim about how we treat their behavior in that tumah. But the tumah itself, haivahai kigritsu. Rabbi Yezim and Yaakov Amir, well, we call a Gerim Bechusa Kippurim to Tanakama, I mean, agrees to the need for the Korban. No. So my time alone, Tani. This is it. That's not mechabit. Kikatani only midam the mishul amechabit kachim. The purpose of the carbon is for that. A ger kikamaite carbon is to call himself a Jew. Luxury nafshul amechabit kalu do amaite. Vinozir, my time alotani. Sov the nazir nami is bringing a carbon for all types of things. Lishtaril mishtayayin. That's not limited to kachim. So that's chulin. Rabbi Eliezer, however, who does include a nazir, even though it's a lemishrei nafshe, he should also include a nazir tame as a separate case. So nikne nami nazir tame, because kikamaite karban lemechal alay nazirut b'taharah udemaite. Tana Rabbana.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Here we go.
All right, the highly conditioned.
We're holding on that Zion on the base, and we're fooling around the bend here to end our park today, Bezrat Hashem. We're at the Mishnah, even though today's daf is Chet, we're at the Mishnah on Zion of the days. And then just a little bit of an introduction over here. Remember that the halacha of Leida, we talked in the previous mission, previous sugya, we had the question of what is the din of a suffix Leida in terms of bringing a carbon chatas, mitzada suffix. And so we continue over here with the question of at what point you become mechuyav for the next Leida. Is in the same way that the issue would be if you have a number of different things that are mechayev you the same. So you're supposed to bring on every leida a korban, but lamaisa, bringing a korban would be matir the woman to eat kachim. The other ones we'll see whether there's a chiyav on her to continue to bring them or not. But it's like going to the mikveh. It doesn't matter how many times you became tamei. You go to the mikveh once, the mikveh is matir. Question over here is, what is Mechayev a separate korban for the actual leida. Now, let's say that a woman has multiple births, right? So she's delivering twins. She delivers twins or triplets or whatever on different days. That's all considered to be one leida. There's only one fee of korban. That doesn't have anything...
On different days. Oh, yes, this came up when actually Rebbe was away. Somebody brought it up that if there's a set of 90 days.
Yeah, that's what we're getting to. So now the question over here is the maximum amount of time that can be given a woman for the birth cycle is for the birth of a nekeva. The din is that she has 80 days total. The first 14, she's a tmeah, even if there was no blood in the birth. And the next 66 days, even if she's bleeding, she's Tahara. That's called the Melot, Yibay Melot, Yimei Tahara. So the Dam that she sees during that period is called Dam Tohar. And it doesn't matter if she's bleeding, she's not even considered to be a Nida. She's completely Tahara. So she could go to the Mikvah, and now she has until the end of the 80th day, she's all in that period of the first birth. And during that time, if she delivers once again, or she miscarries now during that period, there would be no problem of bringing another carbon. It's all betoth the time in which she actually brings her first carbon, because she can only bring her first carbon after she finishes the cycle. Because during that entire period, she's considered to be until the end of the 80th day, she's like a tefillat yom. Tefillat yom means somebody went to the mikveh that day and the sun hasn't set yet. For her, the sun doesn't set until the end of the 80th day. In what sense? And that she still has a dinner, but tefillat yom, legabe tumah. And she cannot bring her korban until the 81st day after sunrise. Actually, she's chayevet in her korban, so to speak, after sunset on the 80th day. But the Beit HaMikdash is closed at night. Now that's a very significant issue. If the Beit HaMikdash is closed, is that a separate problem? In other words, basically the sun has set. The fact that there's the nighttime between the time that her sun sets, so to speak, and she's able to bring her korban is just a logistical question. But if she would have a child that night, or she would miscarry that night, meaning the night of the 81st day to come, that's as if she had a child in the 81st day. What's the difference whether she could actually bring her korban or not? That is really the question that our Mishnah revolves around. What's the din of the night of the 81st, meaning the night following the 80th day? And really, as we'll see, there's an overall question whether Laila kemechuser zman or not. The night before, is that considered to be that she has not yet completed, because it's unavoidable. In order to bring her carbon, she needs to complete 80 days plus the night afterwards. There's no way out of that. Now, you can call it whatever you want. So she's mechuseret zman, so to speak, in terms of a new carbon, in which case any birth during that period before she's able to bring the new carbon cannot be covered. It cannot be mechayev a separate carbon, so it's all included in the carbon that becomes chayev now in the morning. Or do we say, no, the carbon she was chayev the night before. If after nightfall she miscarries again, then she's got another problem. It's a separate miscarriage. She's going to have to bring a separate carbon on that miscarriage. And this is our shadow. We'll see this is a machlokas here in the Mishnah. Hamapelet lahor shmanim ve'echad, a woman who miscarries on the night of the 81st day. So Beit Shammai potrim in akorbanum Beit Hillel mechayaviv. Amru Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, why are you pottering her from the korban? Surely you agree that Maishna or Shmonim Ve'echad Miyom Shmonim Ve'echad Im Shivalo Letum'a Lo Yishivalo LeKorban. The reason that we say that she's chayevet in a new korban is because in the same way that you understand that there's absolutely no difference between the night of the 81st and the day of the 81st, in terms of her being now once again mitameh, I mean, certainly if after the 80th day, she now is going to have a re'iyah of dam, I mean, that's dam tuma. That's not dam tor anymore, that's kaput. If she sees again any blood on the 81st day, that is mitameh her. There's no difference whatsoever once sun has set on the 80th day. So if that's the case, if it has the same din legabe tum'ah, lo yishvelo lekorban, should it not have the same din in terms of the korban? That if she has now a leida or hapala that is going to be matameh her, I mean, so why isn't it going to be machayev or a separate korban? It's exactly the same thing. Amru lehem Beit Shammai, it's not the same thing at all. Lo namartim emapelet yom shmonim v'echad. Look, a woman who miscarries on the day of the 81st, the reason that over there she's chayevet a korban is because she ken yatz'a l'sha'ashi ruya la'aviva korban. She has already gone into the period of time in which she could have already brought her korban on the first leda, and therefore the fact that she didn't bring the korban is irrelevant. The new leda is b'chayev a new korban because she was already chayevet in the korban. You can't now extend that indefinitely and say, well, I haven't brought it yet, might as well bring one on them all. Masha'inkein, when it comes out that she miscarries on the night of the Shmonim V'Echad, Tomar v'maperot lo Shmonim V'Echad, would you argue then that the night before where she as yet lo yatsa l'shashi ruya l'aviva korban, there's no way she could have brought a korban yet, because the day before was too early, it was before the sunset, so she's still at Tfilas Yom, and the day afterwards hasn't arrived, and the night time you can't bring a korban, and therefore it's not just a question of she didn't do it, she couldn't do it. And therefore we should look at it as the korban was only chayevet in the morning at sunrise, and until that time, anything that happened in between, any additional mahapalot or leidot, are included in the first korban at the moment that it becomes now a chiyuv. Amru lahem Beit Hillel, said Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai, now that's not a real argument. And suppose it was Shabbos. So she can't bring her korban on Shabbos, can she? She's going to say the same thing. You're arguing that the nighttime is not a time that she could have brought her korban, and neither is Shabbos. So would you argue then that if she now miscarries on the 81st day, which is Shabbos, so now that's okay, she only has to bring one korban because she couldn't have brought her korban yet? Obviously not. I mean, the fact that it's Shabbos is a side issue. So she finds she's unable to get around to bringing her korban because the Torah does an hour or two. What does that have to do with the price of eggs in China? Bottom line is, she was already yotza technically into the period in which she would have been able to bring her korban if it wouldn't be that there were logistical limitations such as nighttime or Shabbos time or whatever. Okay, so this is the same thing. So if it was chaliot b'Shabbat, that proves it. Shelo yatzal l'sha'ashi ru'iyala abibu korban. There was no time she could have brought a korban, was there? Nonetheless, even you agree that she's chayavet the korban. Amru lehem Beit Shammai, said Beit Shammai, there's a big difference between Shabbat on the 81st day and the Leil of the 81st day. Lo im amartem yom shmonim ve'echad shechal liyot b'Shabbat. She'af api she'inan ro'ui le'korban yachid. You're right. She cannot bring her korban, and that's purely a logistical issue. But you know what makes it purely a logistical issue? The fact that korbanot are brought on Shabbat? I mean, it's certainly ro'i le'korban sibur. So the fact that she can't bring a korban is a personal problem. A yotze can't bring a korban on Shabbos. But certainly, there's nothing innate in the time that tells us that it's not a period of chiyuv korbanot. It's a period of chiyuv korbanot that you're not allowed to bring. Tomar b'mapelet lo'or shmonim ve'achad she'in halayla ro'i lo le'korban yachid ve'lo le'korban sibur. Therefore, you can't argue, since the night of the 81st is not a logistical problem. It's the fact that there is no such thing as a korban that's brought at night. Since there's no such thing, you cannot consider her to have been yotzeit l'sha'ah ru'yala v'korbanah until the morning, because there are no korbanot at night. So even though the sun has set, and if the sun would have set without there being a night, she could have bring her korban out. But it's no coincidence that night falls after sunset. And therefore, she has not yet entered into the period in which she's able to bring her korban. And don't try to bring me a raya about dam. You're saying, what was your big raya? That if we agree that if she sees blood on the night of the 81st, that it's no different than seeing Biyom Shmoni. What does that prove? Hamapelet betoch melot tomeat meim upturam in akorban. I don't understand what you're saying. Suppose she would have miscarried during the melot yemei tahara, where all of her blood is tahor, but she's still going to be tamei from the hapala, correct? So there's two completely different dinim over here. There's the din, even though the korban would still be potter, obviously, no matter how many hapalot she had during the period of those 80 days, they're all included in the period of the first korban. But nonetheless, the dam has a separate din. She's still going to be coming. She still has the 2 weeks of tuma for the leida and the keva. Yemei malot don't cancel out tumat leida. They only cancel out the din of nida on her dam. But for the actual birth, which over there, whether she's tumeya, whether she's raya dam or not, she's going to be tumeya. Therefore, don't try to compare the dinin. They go in both directions. Sometimes the dam would be tumeya and the leida wouldn't be chayav a carbon. Sometimes the leida is chayav a carbon, the dam is tumeya, but they have nothing to do with each other. Time it says the price of Rulahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel said, okay, we get all the arguments. Bottom line is, does the Pasuk not say O Levat? This is Leven O Levat. You know what that O Levat? We darshan the O over there is L'rabot Or Shmonim Ve'echad. That is to tell me that even on the night of the 81st day, there's still a concept of a new korban that you're going to be chayav. Now, Rav Oshia, Rav Oshia used to learn many years. He learned with Bar Kapora. He would go to Bar Kapora's yeshiva. And one day he left Bar Kapora's yeshiva and he went to learn in Rav Chiya's yeshiva. So he was Shafke, Abishkiach came to Bar Kapora. He used to learn by Bar Kapora and Shafke Vosel came to Rav Chiya. He left him and went to learn by Rav Chiya. And then Rabbeinu Gershom says that Rav Chiya was considered to be a greater Gadol than Bar Kapora. And he went to learn by him. Bar Kapora wasn't too happy about that, as you can imagine. So Yom Echad Pogabe, one day he meets, Rav Oshia meets his erstwhile Rosh Yeshiva, Bar Kapora, and he asks him, a question like this. Zav, Shira'a Shalosh Re'iyot B'Lil Shmini, Ma Beit Hillel Omrim B'Davar Zeh. Now remember that we have a similar case of the Leda in our Mishnah in a case of Ziva. So let's get the dinim clearly of Ziva so we'll understand what his problem is. We have the same halacha of Shivas Yomim that we do on a woman who is a Zava. There's a counting of 7 clean days after Ziva. So remember that all types of zivas, male or female zivas, are considered to be a pathology, really, of the reproductive system. And zivas are not simply questions of semen. It's different, slightly different material, prostate material. That's metame, and it's metame in this way. One re'iya has the same din as a normal balkari, so we pretend it was semen, the kol davar. 2 re'iyas have a din of shivas yamim, which is the equivalent of a woman who saw blood 3 times outside her normal period. But it's not mechayev a korban. 3 re'iyas is actually not only metame shivas yamim, but he becomes a zav gadol, and he's also chayev in the korban in order to be able to eat kodesh. And if he doesn't bring that korban, he's a mechusar kippurim, he cannot eat kodeshim. Now, the same question that we have within the 7-day period, which is now counting the time that he is basically a extended tfuyom, the same way a woman is an extended tfuyom till the end of the 40th day of a male birth or the 80th day on a female birth. So we have exactly the same issue. He now, this man, on the night of the 8th day, he cannot bring a carbon on the night of the 8th day because it's nighttime, right? On the other hand, it certainly cannot be considered to be part of his original re'iya, because at this point he has to have to start over again. So what would exactly Beit Hillel say in this situation about his chiyuv korban?
You can have the 3 re'iyos in one day.
Yes, the din is that a woman's re'iya of zivas are by definition defined by separate days. A male's re'iya to be mechayev zivot are separate re'iyot, and they have nothing to do with the number of days. Excellent, excellent. Not bad at all. So now, do we say that Ta'amayu de Beit Hillel, de Bampelet Balayla, Medishum Dechtiv Olevad, is this halacha that we just said, that Beit Hillel ends up finally saying to Beit Shammai, and what are you going to do about the Pasuk? The Pasuk says Olevad. And that's enough of a proof that there is now a Rivui for Or Shmonim Vechad. Is that a unique din that applies to births? But in the end, he had to accept the reasoning of Beit Shammai, that since it's not yet time to bring a korban, so it's considered to be namachusar zman. So in the equivalent case of a zav, where it doesn't say anything about olavad, we don't have a pasuk that tells me that a zav, we should look at the night before as if it's a different time, he would agree to the basic logic of Beit Shammai and say, look, as long as this zav couldn't bring a korban yet because the sun hasn't risen on the eighth day, it's all going to be included in his original chiyuv korban. He doesn't have to bring two separate korbanot for two separate zibot. So is that the point? That Beit Hillel ends up falling back on the pasuk d'chtiv olavad. But where we don't have such a pasuk, such as by the case of Azov, Shara'ah, Shalosh Riyot, Belel Shmini, there he would agree with Beit Shammai that the carbon will potter all of the previous Riyot, the low Maitrekro, you don't have an extra pasuk of O. Or do we say, Odilma Loshka, maybe it's the same thing, that basically once we have the Riboy of Olavat, we understand that there's a general principle, that the night before is considered to be still be Mechusar Zman for the Korban, and it's not yet time to bring the Korban. So, Omale Bar Kapora, so Bar Kapora said to his erstwhile Talmud, Rav Oshia, that he wasn't too happy with, so tell me, and this the correct accuracy is Ma'ia Omer Bedovers, and Rav Chiya couldn't pronounce the chet very well, and he always got his ayins confused with his chets, and so he would refer to himself as Mr. Ia, and Bar Kapora made fun of him. So tell me, so what's Mr. Ia say about this? I mean, since you went to learn by him, I'm sure he's got some intelligent answer. Ishtik Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia was very upset with the way that he spoke about his rabbi. Loma kum, he didn't answer. So then, now the Shiloh here is the gears is a little bit confused here. Did I skip it? No, but what, did I skip one part of here? The Masik Revelation. No. No, it's not only that. We have to do the rest of the. There's a different Shiloh here that's also in the same Girsa. Okay, so it's Ma'iyah Omer B'dover Zeh, and then Hada Rav Oshia Bomine Milsa Achrit. Rav Oshia also asked him something else, and this time, now we go back to the Girsa we have over here, Omalei Bar Kapora, Ma Babli Omer B'dover Zeh. All right, so what's your new Rebbe? I mean, yeah, I guess you need the Torah of Bavel. I mean, he came from Bavel, Rav Chiya, probably they have some more intelligent stuff than we have over here in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the Babli have to say about this? Rav Oshia didn't like that either. And this time he said, Bar Kapora, Sri Kamana Ladivraiya, you can make fun all you want, but the bottom line is he's got answers and you don't. So, you know, let's let's put everything in proportion over here. So Lamaisa says the Gemara, not Zoral Rishonot. Let's go back to what we were saying before and deal with the question that Rav Oshia asked. Hariyu Omer Olavat. It does say in the Pasuk Olavat L'Rabot Or Shmonim Ve'Echad, correct? In terms of what we do about the equivalent case of a Zav, which was Rav Oshia's question, maybe that's a Machlokas Tanai. Neima Ketanai. Zav Shira'ah Shalosh Ri'iyot B'Lel Shmini. This is the question. It's already past sunset of the seventh day. This Zav, if it were daytime, would now be able to bring new karbanos, his karbanos. During the night, he has three separate riyas of Ziva. What's the din? So Tani Chada, one Brisa says, maybe. The Tani, maybe.
A new one.
Seems to be a machlokes. Whether or not he has to bring a new korban, so my love Tanoi. The other Tanya, maybe the Tanu says he has to bring now a new korban. He holds Laila Eino Mechusar Zman. We don't look at the night before as being Mechusar Zman. Basically, it's a logistical issue, right? So, and therefore, the only reason that Beit Hillel, according to this, would have said that when it comes to Leida, we look at it as more than a logistical issue because it's a special pasuk. The Torah said, "Oh, Levat," to tell me that. Look, even though it's only a side problem that you can't bring your korban over here, but the idea over here is nonetheless
there needs to be the full period that is allotted here to the bat. So therefore, Beit Hillel would be a mechayev. So v'hadatani eimei v'kasev laila, when you hold it, you're potter. Yod's laila is considered to be b'chusses man. It's not yet time to bring the korban. And that's the reason, ultimately, that the woman does not have to bring now. Since the laila is b'chusses man, so in the case of zivas, m'chusses man basically means it's not yet time to bring your korban. When it finally comes time to bring your korban in the morning, that korban is going to be mechaper, so to speak, or matzah you and achilas kashrim on everything. Therefore, why should you bring a separate korban? The laila was not a time to bring a korban yet. And that basically addresses Rav Osher's question and tells us that it's a machlokas how to understand really Beit Hillel's reasoning, whether it would apply directly to Zivas because he holds that the chiddush of the pasuk is that laila is einam b'chusses man, or maybe it's a special halakha by Leida, and when it comes to Zivas, we would say laila is b'chusses man, and therefore you would be potter now to bring a new korban. Omer Vuna Barach, Omer Blazer, I disagree. I don't see that that's necessarily the explanation. It could be that Ani Tanoi Sabri, maybe both of them hold that laila is mechusar zman, and even though it's mechusar zman, ha the Tanya may be, you know why the Tana over here says you do have to bring another korban, even though laila is mechusar zman, and we should say it's not time yet for you to bring your korban, so therefore the next korban should cover everything up until the time of the piyev of the new korban. I'll tell you why. Because he says, we're talking about over here a case where the original Zivas, and he's counting 7 days, he only had seen twice. Now, if he only saw it twice, there never was a chiyuv carbon for the original Zivas. And therefore, if now he's Raya Shalosh Riyas, of course he has to bring a carbon. The Gemara's going to ask him, and it wasn't that rather obvious? I mean, that's childishly simple. We were only talking about a case where it was chiyuv carbon for the first Riyah, and our question was whether it extends to the second Riyah. Why in the world would anybody have to address a case where he never was chayav a carbon for the first Riyah and question whether he would have to bring a carbon for the second Riyah? That's crazy. Fine, we'll talk about that. But in terms of the machlokas, there's no machlokas. There's two separate cases. If the first time he saw Zivas, he saw three times, and he was chayav a carbon, then laila in this case would be b'chusser zman. Therefore, it's not yet timed to bring the carbon. And in the morning, the carbon will cover all of the Rias that he had. Obviously, he can't really do it in the morning because he's going to have to wait another 7 days now. But in other words, there's no new chiyuv for the next Riyah because he never had a time in which he could have brought his carbon for the first Riyah. If the first Riyah, Ziva, 7 days ago, were only two Riyahs, and that's why he's waiting 7 days, and there was no chiyuv of the carbon, so then at that point, there's nothing to discuss. I mean, and obviously, he needs to bring now a new carbon for his new Riyas. But the Tanya may be bizarre Bashte Riyas, but the Tanya may be bizarre Bashalosh Riyas. Asks the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, bizarre Bashte Riyas, Maya Meimra. What possible Kiddush could there be if he was never Chayev a carbon for the first Riyas? Obviously, he now has a new three Riyas of Zivas. Why would he not be Chayev a carbon? No, it's a big Kiddush. Because Hakamash Malan, Dafke Ra'ah Belel Shmini. The only reason that this man brings a carbon is because it was already after sunset on the seventh day. Suppose he would have seen his Re'ios on the seventh day. And you'd say to yourself, well, okay, up until this time he only saw two Re'ios. So he wasn't, here's his third Re'ah, here's his fourth Re'ah, here's his fifth Re'ah. So now he's high of a carbon, right? Wrong. Why? Because Kasava kol Re'iyash is soteret ein leviat lidei korban. Once he begins counting his 7 days, any Re'iyah that he sees during those 7 days are not a normal Re'iyah of Ziva. They are Re'iyah that are soter, the count of the seven. And a Re'iyah that is soter, the count of the seven, does not add itself to the Re'iyahs that he saw before to be Machayah them now a new Zivas.
So how are you ever a Zivas?
If he didn't start yet, he's counting the Shiva. That's a question whether it's Dafka B'Yom Shvi, but the Maisa, the Rambam Paskins, as long as he counted one day, now it's a Sphira. If he started his count, that's all he is.
So it's very difficult to see the connection. The previous one we had about the Nazir, who's Tamei many times and made it for that one.
Right.
But it's different.
Completely different. Yeah, this is a different halakha.
Well, he starts counting again now from the 8th day, he starts another 7 days.
Well, did he start a new count on the new
count? Yeah, he has to start a new count anyway. He has to start a new count because he was Seisr his count. It's like a woman who was Rei Adam in the middle of her Shiva Snakiyah. So she starts her Shiva Snakiyah. That's what Shiva Snakiyah mean. Seven consecutive days that are Tahor. So here too he'll have to start. But the chiddush is that he still won't have to bring a korban.
But if he had seen three Re'iyahs on the seventh day, he would be chayav korban anyway, wouldn't he?
No. The truth is there is a shita that says what David... There are shitas among the Achronim that say what David is saying. That this is only true about the first Re'iyah, because that Re'iyah is the soteric Re'iyah.
Uh-huh.
But if he would see three Re'iyahs, then there would be a Kiyam. However, it's clear from the Rambam that that's not true.
Right.
That any Re'iyah during Shiva Snakiyam is defined as a Re'iyah soteric. And therefore it doesn't add. Only at night does that count. In other words, as long as you're in the middle of the count, all you're doing now is addressing the count. You're not addressing the Ikar Tuma.
Starting a new count.
No, you can't start a new count until tomorrow.
Oh, so that whole day, any Re'iyah would be so?
Any Re'iyah is so terrible.
Not just one.
That's exactly it, yeah.
At least one.
What do you mean not just
one? One is soteric, but you see two.
See another one
so just as another raya that it is not a good Shiva Snakiyah. They're all called Riyot Sotrot, even though they don't make any difference.
And you don't start.
You don't start again until
the next day.
Yeah. At the end of that new count, he won't have to bring a korban.
And at the end of that new count, he still won't need to bring a korban. That's the chiddush. That's the tremendous chiddush. We were asking, what's the chiddush? This is not a chiddush. This is a tremendous chiddush. So what Rabbi Yochanan is bringing out over, what the Tanna is bringing out over here, is good for this halacha. Okay, says Rav. Amar Rav, Amayu kim to la Tanya, ain maybe. Okay, let's come. I just want to get this straight here. We're talking about over here that it's possible to be an Eino Mevi where you had only two Riyas. But if you would have a Zov Baal Shalosh Riyas, then you would, right? So why isn't this included also in the case by Chamisha Mevi'im Korban Echad Alaveirot Harbeh? In other words, we had the list of various things which talk about the way in which one Korban covers numerous events. Like the case of the Nazir, right? Why don't we list this as one of those cases? So then we should say, Chamisha Mevi'im Korban Echad, okay, a Nazir was Matami Tumot Harbeh, a Zav, thank you very much, who saw Shalosh Riyos Betoch, his time of counting and so on. We could include that as another case, just like the Nazir of someone who is has one carbon that is going to be
night, he then has three
at night, exactly,
over and over again,
over and over again. So why doesn't it appear in the Mishnah? Ah, that's because of Opsikala. You see, there's additional detailed material over here that prevents me from saying that as a given case, because the Omer of Yochanan Ra Achatz Balayla V'Shtayim Biyom maybe, but Shtayim Balayla V'Achatz Biyom Eino maybe. It's because it's a little bit unclear. Sometimes you would be chayev, actually, for the Re'iyos at night. If the Tana would have just said, one of the cases in which you bring one carbon for numerous events would be a Zav who is Re'ya Re'iyos of Ziva on the night of the eighth day, we would have made the mistake of thinking that any Re'iya is Mamela part of his previous fee of carbon and cannot be Machayev a new carbon, but that's not really true. Because Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that if he had two Re'iyas the night before and one Re'iyah the following day, then he would not bring a carbon. But if he had one Re'iyah the night before, two Re'iyas the next day would be Machayev in the carbon. And Rabbi Yosef said, and I'll prove that to you conceptually. Teda. The Akas Belayla B'Shtayim V'Yom Mevi. The reason, look, think about it. Every time there is a Re'iya Rishona of a Zav, it's never Zivos. We don't give it, has absolutely no quality of Zivos. We don't look at the physical situation. We look at the halachic situation. And the halachic situation defines this person as a typical Baal Keri. So as we consider his Zivos to be nothing but Shichvat Zera Be'alma. Now all of a sudden, magically, Ilu Kozi train, if he now sees Tarkin Akri Naisa, when he now sees an additional two Re'iyos, we say, well, now retroactively, we define his first Re'iyah as not having been Shichvat Zera, but rather as being part of a pattern of Zivot, correct? And what does that show you? It shows you that basically what defines the nature of the Zivot is the last two Re'iyos, and they're capable of retroactively redefining what happened. Therefore, if the two Re'iyos that are going to define the situation occurred after the Chiyuv of the Korban on the eighth day, they can redefine the Re'iyah on the night of the eighth day as being part of a pattern of Re'iyos of Ziva, whereas before it was entirely insignificant. And therefore, the Tana can't simply go ahead and say, and a Zav is one who brings one Korban on many events, because it isn't absolutely true. Part of his Re'iyah of Zivas on the night of the eighth day may end up being Mitzurah for a new Korban if he continues his next two Re'iyahs in the daytime after the possibility of bringing his Korban for the previous Re'iyahs.
So, and why doesn't Shtayim Belayla Vachas
Beyom? Shtayim Belayla is because the ones at night are always covered by the Korban in the morning. The Re'iyah of Zivas at night. But the first Re'iyah was as if he's a Baal Keri. Correct? So that has nothing to do with his din of Tumah. Once his 7 days are over, the guy has a wet dream, the night of the eighth, what's the din? He's a Baal Keri like anybody else. It has nothing to do with Zivos. The next day, he goes to the mikveh. Of course, he can't bring his korban because it's full yom. And then on the ninth day, he brings his korban. Nothing to do with his Zivos, just the fact that if it's full yom, he can't now go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring his korban.
Because of the carry last night?
It's just carry. It has nothing to do with his Zivos. It's a coincidence. I mean, and you know, if you would have had a problem, bring your korban because he had touched the sheretz. It's been the same thing. So the point over here is that ex post facto now, if he sees additional Re'iyahs, they can redefine the previous Re'iyah so that now the Zivos actually occurred in the daytime. So that the tziruf of an original Re'iyah is always an odd thing, because it's always a redefinition of what happened.
And two Re'iyahs the night before?
So two Re'iyahs the night before are included in his previous Zivos, because Lila is Mukhlis Rizman.
Okay.
So therefore, Ilu Chazi Tartan Achri Naita Mitzarfilu, we could still be Mitzarif, but Re'iyah Shichvat Zera, so to speak, not really. But a Re'iyah of Zivos that we give a dinner of Shichvat Zera the night before to the halakha of his Zivos the next day. Omer Rav Shesh is greater of Ide. Now, what kind of Raya is that? Mide Ira, you call that a Raya? Rav Yosef. I mean, Re'iyah Rishayna Shal Zav, Chaze Bizman Chiyuva. There's no comparison between the two cases. You're telling me that every Re'iyah Rishona Shozov anyway has to be redefined by the next Re'iyah. Well, of course. If theoretically that first Re'iyah would have been followed immediately by two Re'iyahs, so then he would be a Zav. But in this case, if that Re'iyah was followed immediately by two other Re'iyahs, he would not be a Zav. Because he would be covered, in terms of Korbanos, because he would be covered by the Korban that's still going to come the next morning. So how do they understand how you apply the halakha, the Gabi Mechusar Zman, to the fact that we're always mitzarit, the first Re'iyah of Zav? What does that have to do with it? You're still not going to change the time that it occurred in, are you? You can't change the fact that the first Re'iyah, even if I redefine it now as being part of Zivas, took place the night before I was going to bring a carpet for an earlier Zivas. How are you going to change that? Like, well, I redefined it the next day, so let's pull it out of its time and drag it into the third day. Does that make sense? I mean, you may want to assert such a thing, but you can't prove such a thing. You can't tell me I should take a nighttime Re'iyah, where had he been a real three-time Zav at that night, he would not have been Chayav HaKorban.
Because Lila
is considered to be Mechutz Zman.
And Korban would cover it.
And tomorrow's carbon would cover it and bring a riot that, well, but still, if it was one riyah at the wrong time, I'll bring a riot from the case of a one riyah at the right time. How can you bring a riot of one riyah at the right time to our case, which is one riyah at the wrong time? They don't have anything to do with each other. You may be able to redefine something. It doesn't mean you change the time in which it occurs. You gave it a different din, that's all. So riyah rishona shel zav. Of course, it's redefined to join up with the next riyot, but that's because it was chazi b'zman chiyuva. That's because when you did have that riyah, it was at a time where it could have been mechayev you, a karma. Mashen ken, in our case, we have achas b'layla v'shnayim b'yom, kiven delav b'zman chiyuva chazia. If you hadn't seen it, now, you didn't see it b'zman chiyuva, if Rabbi Yochanan hadn't told us this tremendous chiddush, no one would have dreamt to bring a raya from the fact that every zav essentially is being metzarev a ri'iyah of shechvazer. It has nothing to do with it. Ilav dashbina Rabbi Yochanan metzarev, I certainly would have thought myself avamina delot tzarev. But wait a second. So then that means Rabbi Yochanan, you're telling me, is saying that Laila is mechusar zman. That's what you're saying. I mean, there's no other point to this whole conversation. If Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if it was raw achas shtayim b'layla and achas b'yom, your potter, then obviously all it's Laila's mechusar zman. And he's saying that the carbon that you're chayim in the day is only now possible to bring, and therefore it covers everything up until this point. Yeah, there's only one little problem, that Rabbi Yochanan has been seen elsewhere at the Paskin, that Laila is not considered to be mechusar zman, and that actually the carbon was already a chiyuv at night, and therefore anything that follows should be a separate chiyuv. Where did he say that? Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Laila mechusar zman. Did Rabbi Yochanan ever say such a thing? Vi Omar Chizkia, Nitma biyom mevi, Balaila eno mevi. Now we have a halacha that Chizkia says that in a case where you have a tumah that was a chiyuv, and here we're talking about a nazir, but in chur the same halacha, the nazir becomes tumi in the day, meaning the eighth day when now he can bring his carb. And he was tumi now on the eighth day again. He has to bring two. Maybe he has to bring another carb. Now Rabbi Yochanan says, even if he became tamei the night of the eighth day, he would have to bring another carbon. Now, what does that say to you? That Laila is considered to be not mechusar zman, therefore he was already high of his carbon. If he becomes tamei again, he needs another carbon now, as a nazir who became tamei. And it's not all one long tumah included in what he would have brought for his first carbon for becoming tamei the first time. I understand. How is Rabbi Yochanan contradicting himself that when it comes to the question of zivot, which is exactly the same halacha, 7 days, the eighth day you bring your carbon, just like by Nazir, and in one case he says Laila is mechusar zman, and the other case he says Laila is not mechusar zman? Well, says the Gemara, well, the point over here is that kikam Rabbi Yochanan shtayim b'layla v'achaz b'yom ena mevi, our case, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't paskin. Rabbi Yochanan is just saying that if you hold that Laila is mechusar zman, this would be the halacha. Ah, oh, come on, the divrei ha'omer. It's an amshita. What's the chiddush? What do you mean, the divrei ha'omer? I thought that was the whole chiddush. Was that he's coming to tell you that Laila is considered to be mechusar zman? No. The chiddush is the tremendous chiddush that we just said. That raw achat b'layla v'shnayim l'yom. That part is the chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan can't say that chiddush himself because he doesn't agree with the Ikar Yesod. He holds that basically Laila is not mechusar zman, and therefore I can't bring out my chiddush, can I? Because Laila is not mechusar zman. All three riyas might as well have been in the day of the eighth day. But what I'm trying to tell you is, if you disagree with me and you hold that Laila is actually considered to be mechusar zman, I got a fantastic chiddush for you. That you can redefine the previous re'iyah in time in such a way that it will be mitzuraf with the shtei re'iyahs of the daytime and be mechayev your new carbon if afilu l'shitatchem. What a shame that I can't say this l'shitati because it's not nageya. Because l'shitati, the whole moment from sunset already is basically the day of the 81st. But it works out fantastically that it's important for you to see the subtlety of this issue. Sorry for the fun. Says the Mishnah. האישה שיש עליה ספק חמש לידות וספק חמש זיבות. Now suppose this woman got confused about her count. She's not sure whether she remembered that a re'iyah of Dom during the Torah's mandated cycle, which is a 7-11 cycle, she has 7 days from the re'iyah that she has, and during those 7 days, it doesn't matter how many times she's re'iyah Dom, how much Dom, it's all part of the same basic cycle. At the end of the seventh day, she stops seeing Dom, she goes to the mikveh that night 5 minutes later. That's the halacha midiraisa. The next 11 days, any re'iyah that she sees is considered to be part of Zivot. And the problem is that this woman can't remember when she first started seeing Dom here, and whether she's seeing now in the middle of her 11 days, or she's still in the middle of her 7 days. So she can't figure out whether she's a Zava Gedela or not, and she doesn't know if she's Chayav Zekorava. So now she's in big trouble because she can't eat Kutch. It's the same thing as a woman who had a miscarriage, and she's not sure whether the fetus was viable, whether it was a mutation or not. So you can have 5 cases, right? Let's say, now, what does she do? Well, she's mevi'in korban echad. I mean, basically, again, the din of being matir, a woman to eat kachin, is like going to the mikveh. It doesn't matter how many times you became tameh, even once you go to the mikveh, you're tahor. The same thing is true about mechusar kippurim. It doesn't matter how many times you had to bring this korban. As long as you bring it once, you're now allowed to eat kachim. The question of whether you have a chiyav, that's something else. Maybe you have a chiyav, but...
She has five safek leidot.
Safek.
She miscarried.
Why didn't
you bring
one
every time?
She should have, but she lives far away from the Beit HaMikdash. She didn't get around to it. It wasn't no gaya for her to eat. And of course, don't forget the old alien problem. That's always a serious problem. If she's threatened by being picked apart in an alien spaceship, if she brings a carbon, then she's not going to do it.
Even a woman had 5 births. She brings a carbon. She brings 1 carbon to everyone.
1 carbon, 5 real births or Suffolk births?
5 real births.
No, we're talking about Suffolk births up here, because remember, we don't want to encourage. We don't hold of bringing a chatas mitzada suffik. We're moderate the koshi in order to allow, since nothing goes on the mizbeach, so we're moderate to, but basically what we're doing is we're being melek a possible nevela over here, you know. So therefore, let her bring 1 carb, and then she's okalat mizvachim. Ve'in hashar aleachovah, she doesn't have to go ahead now and bring more of them to be matar sofik, right? Because we don't want these kind of sfekas being brought. And therefore, you bring 1 of these karbanas. 1 of these karbanas is going to be matar.
Why should she bring the karbanas at all?
Because otherwise she won't be able to eat.
She
won't be able to eat kodesh. She's tmeya.
But that is to bring 1 karban for 5 sfekas. If you couldn't bring 1.
How could she go to the mikvah 1 time for 5 tumas? A korban mechusar kippurim is not really a kapara mechet. It's a method of becoming tahor. So that's essentially what happens here. So she's going to the mikveh and she's bringing the korban that completes her mikveh. Chamesh zivot vada'ot. V'chamesh leidot vada'ot. So there may be a korban echad. So it's true she could still get away with bringing 1 korban and eating now her kachim so she could eat this vachim. The Ashar Aleha Chovah, but she's going to have to bring the rest because over there she has a Chiyav on each one of them. The Torah said to bring it, so she'll need to bring 8 more. Now there was a Maaseh She'amdu Kinim B'Yerushalayim B'Ninar Zahav. Once what happened is that they pulled the same shtick that they do on the Lulav and Esrog, you know, where they sell fruits for $100 a fruit. Absolutely bananas.
No pun intended.
So that's what they did in those days. They had the kinim sellers who would collect all of the birds that were around, you know, the pigeons. Great. And pigeons were going for the price of gold, basically. They would sell two pigeons for a dinner zov. So you'd pay $2,500 for your set of pigeons out. What can you do? I mean, you got to bring your carbonates, and you know. So these Jews, they always fall for that. Actually, it turned out the more they charged, the more people were ready to pay. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel.
Wasn't that a poor woman? Anyway, the birds.
Well, the two birds. Yeah, the two birds. But does it matter? It's the poorest people that paid $100 for the Esrog. Omer Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, when he heard about the price of Kinim, he said, that's it. I can't take it anymore. Hamaonaz, I swear by this Beit HaMikdash, Lo Alina Laila, I don't go to sleep tonight, Achyu B'dinarim, until it goes down, at least down to a buck a bird. What did he do? Sof nichnas lebeitin v'limeid ha'isha she'esh ala ha'mesh leidot vada'ot, ha'mesh zivot vada'ot, mevi'a korban achad, don't bother. Now, of course, this is Kenega the Din, because it really is Chobah. But he felt that it is so outrageous to do this to people, it's better to them not to bring the carbon at all than to be in a position in which they're going to price women out of being able to bring the carbon. They'll stop bringing their carbonates, and they'll end up eating kachim without carbonates. That's much worse than B'shev Al-Taseh, not to bring the carbon. So better teach them, don't bother, bring one. Everybody can afford one. It's a machlokas, whether this is takana ledorot, or whether it was just orat sha'ah because of the price. If I work the Rambam on the right. That's the ikar halacha. You're allowed to eat kachim, as we said, it's like going to the mikveh. The only thing is, the Torah's b'chai of you to bring it. You say, forget about the chiyuv. By the way, there's another girsa over here that has that hashar alei chova. And that people thought that they had to bring it immediately in order to eat. So they were under tremendous pressure to buy, and that's what was creating the price pressure. So he took off the price pressure and he just left it. Whenever you get around to it, do it. So he didn't make, according to this, he didn't make any takana. He just taught the halacha. So Rashi has the first approach, which is the one that I said the mission like. The Omdu Kinim Bayomahu Berivatai. Not only did they go down to a buck, they went down to a quarter. A piece, yes. Or some say to two quarters a piece. Two bits, like we would say. Here we go. What is this? Not exactly, no, Gare, but you know how these books with pictures. You know. This was not the coin that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel swore. That he was this. So we are showing you what it's not. Does anybody have an American quarter? We can show you what not.
A dime.
Good, a dime. What shekel? Not the Rivatayim is.
You want to have shekel?
No, I want a bedak, an American dime. And how about an Israeli 10. Yeah. There we go. Now, this is not what he was talking about. This is not what he was talking about. Get that straight. If anybody has a ruble, there we go. This is not what he was talking about. Thank you.
I'm guessing it was a common
era. Okay, sorry, I couldn't read this. No, no, the dinner zahav is worth 25 of those. 1/25 of the dinar zahav, but here it went down to 1/4 of a dinner, 2/4 of a dinner. So in other words, it went down 100 times, according to the 1/4. Tana Rabbanan. I mean, that would be like saying that you're allowed to bring to buy esrogim that have bloodlock in them, you know. No longer be makbid on esrogim with marks. My God, can you imagine? The $100 esrog is suddenly worth a quarter. Tana Rabbanan. Now the gears over here is a little bit messed up. If we take a look at the Ot Dalet in the Bach. Chamesh Leidot Vadai, Chamesh Zivot Safek. Or Chamesh Zivot Vadai, Chamesh Leidot Safek. What should she do? She brings two kinim, Achat Al Vadai, V'Achat Al HaSafek. She should bring for her chiyuv on the Sfekot.
Two pairs.
Yeah. The Ola, anyway, she can always make it tonight, and as we said, she can make it tonight to bring it as a gift. But what's important to us is what she does, Legabe her Chatzat. And since over here, we want to make very certain that there will be a recognition of the thiyav on the vadai that she owes. So there she makes, she specifies, first of all the din is, shal vadai ne'echelet, the vadai, first of all you eat it, the chatas is eaten, v'ashar alei chova, shal safek eina ne'echelet, it may be an avela, v'ein ashar alei chova, so far this is quite clear. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, look, ala vadai tomar, ala achrona, v'tipater. When she's bringing the vadai, she should specify which leda or which ziva vadai she's bringing it for. And she should say, this should be chal on the last one. And when it comes to the imlav, tomar al echad mehen, I'm sorry, I skipped. Vashar aleachova, aleachona v'tipater, shel safek im yesh vadai b'neihem. Now, let's say that it wasn't a clear case of five suffix zivas, five suffix ledas. It was four suffix zivas and one vadai zivas.
There is a lot ahead.
I am?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be. So, im yesh vadai b'neihem. If there's one vadai mixed in these fates, what she should do is tomar ala vadai v'tipater. She can say, I want to bring this korban for the vadai, and then she is now going to pater also her safek, because basically one korban anyway of the same type would allow rachila b'kotchi. V'im lav tomar lachad mehen v'tipater. But if there isn't one vadai in between, so then she could bring even on the first one, and it would be pater. It doesn't have to be dafka on the last one that she's pater. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ben ala vadai ben ala safek tomar ala chat mi amati pater. Makes no difference what your kviyut is of this carbon. You're bringing a carbon. You're not bringing a carbon that's relating to a particular event. It's like going to the mikveh. What's the difference? Which you go? What do you mean? I'm going to the mikveh for the first time. I'm going to the mikveh for the last time. You're going to the mikveh, period. Well, no, this is not a question of pragmatism. We'll see what the problem is over here. Amalei Reb Nachman by Yitzchak Reb Papa, Emelcha Bishmei Derava, Hanet Tanoi B'mai Pligi. This seems like a very esoteric argument. Let me tell you what Rava taught me as far as what this machlokas is. He says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who insists that you should define what it's for, he's medamil en l'chataot. He basically compares this to bringing a chatas on a chet. And over there, the halacha is that the chatas has a specific relationship to the event, of course. So manda chamesh chataot. Somebody was chayav for doing five sins. So he has to bring his chamesh chataot, and in the end it's mechaper for him. So achinami lo shno, you can't, there's no generic chatas. Was Rabbi Akiva medayim lo netfilin? Rabbi Akiva says it's not going to the mikveh, it's like tefillin in the mikveh. What difference does it make what you're going to the mikveh for? So somebody that's chayav to go to the mikveh five times. If he goes to the mikveh once, so he's going to be tahor. So achinami lo shno, what is the point of saying what it's for? Amalei Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said to him, what are you talking about? He's talking about Rav Yochanan ben Nuri l'chatas b'dami lahem. If you really believe that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri holds that the relationship of a chatas of a yoledes is the equivalent of a relationship of a chatas to a chait, then in the case of a suffic yoledes, the relationship would be the equivalent of an asham toler to a chait. So you're saying, I'm not sure if I'm chayef. So this is what I do when I'm not sure. So then why would Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri have said, shall safek tomar lachat mehem tipater? Why isn't he makbid on which one she's doing if it's a safek? I mean, iloman de mechayef chamesh ashamot tluyim. Let's say somebody would be chayef five times in asham toluy. So what? You're telling me you bring one? It's a generic thing? I brought one asham toluy, covers all of my things, doesn't matter what it's for. That's ridiculous. Mivatanya says, "Beferish not like this." Zaklal kosher chalukim bechataot, chalukim b'ashamot. Whatever it has makes a chiluk and a chattas, which are mechuyev a separate chattas, makes a separate chiyuv and an Hashem Toloi. It's not a generic Hashem Toloi. So why would it be a generic chattat mitzad safek if it's not a generic chattat itself? Ella, and therefore the explanation that Rava gave you does not work. Forget about it. You want me to explain to you the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan? It's very simple. The kulei amalat tefilot to bedaimilon. Obviously, the issue of a chatas that's being brought for a heter to eat kachim is similar to going to the mikveh. So you'll say, well, then why would anybody suggest, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri does, that he should specify which one he means? I'll tell you why. Because b'choshen b'shiyaka miflegeh, the question is whether we are afraid that if we allow the woman to bring one, that she's going to end up saying, okay, the heck with the rest. I mean, it doesn't really matter, because I already brought one. Probably one covered all of the above. So if I was chayev in my first one, so it would be like, since I'm only bringing it now, everything between my first leida and my last leida is covered by the one I brought for my first leida, just as if I would have had a miscarriage in the middle of my 80 days. That's how she'll look at it. So he says, Chayshina Mepshia, we're afraid that that's the way the woman is going to think about it. And she would figure, if I don't say to her, no, you got to understand, the one you're bringing was on the last one. What about all the others? Well, when you get around to it, you should bring them. So then she can't rationalize, it was all included in her first one. Now, Shaykh, when it comes to Suffolk, she doesn't have a fiyuv to bring the rest. On the contrary, we want to actually discourage her from bringing the rest because we're not interested in having a bunch of chataot tzvekot in the Beit HaMikdash. And Rabbi Akiva says, what are we, chayash l'pshia? I mean, she is, either she'll bring them or she won't, but the thing that she's bringing is an act of tefillah. What are we playing games to be the yachid of act of tefillah for a particular tumah? I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. And therefore, we don't tell her to say, Allah Akbar.
That the tefillah, does everybody agree that one tefillah covers everything? Even the Yochanan Nuri, would you say, does he agree with about the tefillah?
He agrees about this too. He's just saying that she should say it in this way in order to encourage her to bring the rest. Okay, this is the Pashto. So Rashi says that he has a Kabbalah, that the Choshen of Shia is that we are afraid that she won't bring any carbon, which doesn't really make any sense, but then that's the opposite. We should have tried to encourage her to think that she would be potter. But it's just kedai to remember there's some other approach that needs analysis. Hadron aloch shloshim v'shesh kritut there are four cases of Mechuzah Kippurim, four cases of people who bring a korban on doing something b'mezid as if it were done b'shogeg, makes no difference. Eloin Mechuzrei Kapara, Zav, Zava, Yoledet, and Mitzorah. Those are the first four cases in the Torah of Mechuzah Kippurim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, even a ger, every ger is considered to be a Mechuzah Kippurim. Ach Yizrok Alav Adam, because in order to become a ger, you need milah, tefillah, and damim. If you don't have a Beit HaMikdash, you don't have any damim, so that ger has a din of Mechuzah Kippurim, and therefore it should be included in your Mishnah. Nazir is also considered to be Mechuzah Kippurim, in a sense. I mean, not in terms of the Yitzhar Achilat Kodashim, but in terms of not being able to do his next Nazirut. So he, Achi Zrokal of Adam, until he gets the Zrikas Adam from his carbon, he is basically a Mechuzah. He is basically going to be the equivalent of a Mechuzah Kippurim. Nazir Leyeno V'Tiglachat L'Tumato. A Nazir is a Mechuzah Kippurim because if he doesn't bring his carbon, he is not allowed to drink his wine and get a haircut or to be over on the Din of Tumah. So that's sort of like a Mechuzah Kippurim too. Now, why is it, says the Gemara, Mashna Zav Zav Demanilon Betrayin? How come you listed the male Zav and the female Zav as two different cases? Couldn't you just have said a class? No, I know why. It's obviously because we should dechaluka to matam. their tuma is different from one another. The male zav, lo mitami ba'ones. First of all, a male zav that has a re'iyah of zivus without any type of physical condition that we can link to his re'iyah is not mitami. There needs to be something that we can see that catalyzed this re'iyah, whereas that's not the case of the zava. Furthermore, zava lo mitama b'riyot k'bi amim. The other tremendous difference is that a male zav, each re'iyah is mitzarev, even if it takes place on the same day, whereas a zava is specifically dependent in the number of days. You could only see re'iyahs at separate days, otherwise they don't count as separate re'iyahs. The Tanya. First of all, we learn out that the Torah specifies mi bisaro. It stresses that his zivas has to be coming out from his basar. In other words, what that means is from the strength of his basar, not from some type of pathology that's a microorganism somewhere that we don't see has been connected to his flesh. So either, as the Gemara says, we have a lot of different things that we would define the zivas from. But lo machmatan so b'riyot kiv'yamim, d'tanya, tala katufet azachar b'riyot. When it comes to the male, the Torah makes it dependent on re'iyah. It doesn't mention dates. Whereas the zava, etan ekeva, it makes it dependent b'yamim. So on the other hand, the zava is metama ba'ones. And therefore, you wanted to have two separate cases. That's all very nice. I accept that. What I don't understand is why doesn't the same idea apply to Mitzorah and Mitzorah? And Mitzorah and Mitzorah also have different dinim. Because the din is that a Mitzorah male requires priya u prima. He has to let his hair down and he requires his begotten to be torn. Furthermore, he's also b'tashmish amitah during the entire period here of his count. Whereas the mitzorat, the female, does not require priya or prima, which we learn from a pasuk. And as we'll see, she's muteret b'tashmish amitah. There are no limitations on her sexual activity. The Tanya ein li ela ish. When the Torah introduces the din of mitzorat, so it says ish ki yeh. So that ish may mean only a male. Isha minayin. No. Therefore the Torah specifies v'hatzarua. Hatzarua means whoever has that tzarat, male or female. So reikan shnai im kei matam lomar ish. Why does the Torah specify a male? Ah, because nitko akatov minyan shel mala minyan shel mata. What it wants to say is it's not referring to the above mentioned inyan, meaning the etzem din of tumas negayim, because for that it said v'hatzarua. But what it's saying is that there is something about a male that is meant to be connected to the following pasuk, which is begadavi efrumim, and so on. That halakha is indeed a deal only in males. So ein aisha porat uforemet. Furthermore, a woman is muter katashmish amitah. Shenema beyashav mechutz laohalo shivat yamim. He shall remain outside of his tent. Why does it say mechutz laohalo? So mechutz laohalo means the male is now limited for tashmish amitah. The lo mechutz laohalo, but she, the female, is allowed to continue to have such relationships. So Yochak, I'm asking you in the same way that zav and zav are too, because the dinim are different. So then why don't you read mitzorah and mitzorah and have five mechutzrei kapara, because they should also be two. Answers the Gemara, there's a big difference. And why should we do Nino Betarti? Zava Zava, Ika to Mutan Chalukah. The Ika din of how one becomes a Zava Zava. The definition of what a Zava and Zava are two separate sets of Tuma. They're only similar to each other in that they have something to do with the reproductive system. I mean, otherwise, what's the comparison between them? Different materials, different dinim and rias, different days, different Tiyuvim. What kind of comparison? Whereas the mitzorah, it's the same tuma. It's a mark on your skin. Now the question is, how do you have to act having such a mark? That's a difference. But any kar tuma tan chaluka, and both of them have the same ikar din of tuma, right? High b'high kigris. Both of them have the same shiur, the same color, the same locations. It's one tuma. Now the only question is, what do you do having such a tuma? I'm not going to make that a separate case of mechusrei kapara. That's it for today. Consider that it's 105 minutes. Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Tomorrow is a Chazor.
Yes, we will do a Chazor of the Perek following the brief daf of Kriyut.